Hi, I'm John Ortberg, and I am a sinner. And that is a humbling thing to say, but humility is not a bad thing because we're told in the Bible that God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. That's not a command. It's just the way things are. The worse your story, the warmer your welcome here in this fellowship. We're working through the steps together, and today we come to step 7. Which is humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings, our defects of character. We're going to camp out on this for a few episodes. So today I'll focus on that word, humbly asked. Why humbly? It is a strange thing about pride, which is at the root of so much of our problems, that it can take anything, even our spirituality, and twist it into something that becomes negative and actually damaging to us. Now, that happened in spades with the religious leader back in Jesus's day. It happens now. There's a research, I want to get his stuff right, named Scott Kaufman, who cites a number of studies that indicate spiritual practices often lead to, get this, spiritual narcissism. He talks, for example, about yoga and asks, if a major point of yoga is quieting the ego and reducing focus on self, why are there so many yoga post pictures on Instagram? From my reading of the yoga literature, it doesn't seem as though the theoretical intent of yoga is for primarily attractive, physically attractive people to display with pride their ability to twist themselves into a pretzel. So, what we come back to over and over and over again, and it's part of the strange, painful blessing of a problem like addiction, is that we need God's help. And so we approach him only out of a sense of humility. I will always need God. I'm not in charge of this process. I don't know how well I'm doing. I'm not in charge of the timing. Will he remove my character defects over a short period or a long period? Or how will I know? I don't know. We struggle with humility, and probably more now than in recent times. David Brooks writes about how we live in a culture of what he calls the big me. For example, in 1950, 12% of high school seniors said they consider themselves to be a very important person. Same question was asked in the early 2000s. This time, 80% said, I'm a very important person. So the road to humility is probably longer than it's been in a long time. Something called the median narcissism score has been on the rise drastically over the last few months. I mean, over the last few years. A priest, Father Thomas Keating, writes about how humiliation is the way to humility. And of course, that sounds terrible, but it's actually good news. It's a strange thing that when I can get other people to think well of me, I become enslaved to it, but I have been learning over these last years that with open pain and public problems and humiliation comes a kind of a detachment from things like reputation. This is what Keating writes. The point may come when you actually love your weaknesses and faults because they keep you humble. The feelings of shame and humiliation give way to a loving acceptance of the truth and a complete trust in God's infinite mercy. Now, here's a strange thought. To have our faults made public is sometimes one of the greatest gifts of God. And that is deeply true. There's a wonderful thinker and writer, Swiss doctor, Paul Tournier, who wrote, this is the meaning of an ancient Christian phrase in Latin, I think this is how it's pronounced, felix culpa, to be culpable of something, felicity, happy fault. Not because it's good to have the fault, but because its presence drives me to God and reminds me that I am not in control. So I humbly ask. Now, the classic passage for this is in the Gospel of Mark. And here we see when it doesn't happen and what the need for it is. Jesus is with his disciples and he is headed to the cross. And he says to them, you will all fall away. But after I have risen, go ahead to Galilee. And Peter's response is, no, not me. Even if all fall away, I will not. Now, I think Peter was quite sincere in this moment, but he was not humble. There was a braggadocio in Peter that I can relate to a lot. And it's not just that he thinks Jesus is wrong, that he's got what it takes. He's comparing himself to everybody else. Everybody else might crumble. They're a bunch of weak reeds. I get that, Jesus. You're right to be concerned about them, but I'm the rock, remember? And then Jesus tells him, no, you're going to disown me three times. Now, you'd think at this point, Peter might take Jesus rather seriously. After all, it's Jesus. No, no, no. But Peter insisted emphatically, even I have to die with you, I will never disown you. So there is this spirit of self-sufficiency, and look how devout I am, and I am the poster boy for disciples inside Peter, who's trying to follow Jesus. And then they go into the garden, and Jesus pulls aside Peter and James and John and says, now you pray, watch and pray. And he goes ahead, and Jesus is begging his Father for strength to endure what it is that he has to do. Jesus is doing this, but Peter and his friends fall back asleep. Jesus comes back and says, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. In other words, this is a step seven deal. Peter, humbly ask God to remove your character defects of cowardice and the tendency to escape and deny and betray and run away and practice deceit so you don't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter really did mean well, but it wasn't in his synapses. It was not yet in his neurons to stand up under that kind of pressure, and Jesus knew that. Now, other people are in a different position. Judas was in a position where not even his spirit was willing. He was deliberately running the other way. Peter's spirit was willing, but it hadn't permeated his body yet, like it hasn't mine, like it hasn't yours. And so Jesus says, humbly ask, and Peter doesn't do it, and he is in the cold of the night before a charcoal fire, denies Jesus, disowns him three times. And then there's the crucifixion and the resurrection. And Jesus comes back and calls Peter before where he's fixing breakfast in front of a charcoal fire and reinstates him in front of a fire because, you know, here, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. So the invitation today is humbly, as you walk through this day, best I'm able to, overweening self-confidence, no boasting, no comparing myself. Others may fall away, but I won't. Just awareness of my need. From one moment to the next, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. That's the prayer for today. God, I need you. Humbly ask. And then keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.